We come to the end of our study of Psalm 23. What a wonderful, encouraging portion of Scripture this is. No wonder it is so loved, even by people who aren't really walking with the Lord. They still find this passage an encouragement and a blessing. Psalm 23, King David, the psalmist, reflects upon God's goodness and his care, even in the most difficult of times. One way to think of this psalm, and we haven't looked at it this way, but it's just another way that you can analyze it and think about it, and it might be helpful to you, is to think of it as a drama in three acts. Act one is pastoral. It is peaceful. There's thankfulness to God for his faithfulness and his care, that he is a faithful shepherd to his sheep. And he provides peace and security to his. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Act two turns a little bit dark and stormy as the difficulties and dangers of life dash against us. Instead of life in green pastures and beside still pleasant waters, the psalmist is alone in a dark and threatening valley, the valley of the shadow of death. And then Act 3 brightens with the assurance that you are not alone. The shepherd is not only the source of good things in life, but in hard times, difficult times, dark times, the good shepherd is the source of comfort and consolation as well. And so my cup runneth over. Now we come to the end of verse 6 and the climax of this psalm. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. None of the words in this phrase that David uses are particularly unique or special. The word dwell is a simple word that means what it sounds like. It's sometimes translated to sit, sometimes remain. So, for example, you dwell in a city. Or you remain or live in a city. The word house usually means just that, a house, a home, a building. So Bethel is a form of this word house. And Bethel means house of God. Now it's made of the word house and God, and the word God is El. So like Elohim or just El. It means the strong one, the mighty one, almighty God is the idea of that. But it's also a generic word, by the way. That is, it's used of false gods and idols as well, who are claimed to be strong, you see. Claimed to be a god. But the word here, or words that David uses, is Beth Jehovah, or Jehovah's house, or house of the Lord. This is the Jehovah is the special God, the God of the covenant, the God of Israel, the God who is, I am, eternal, the true and the living God. The word forever is literally length of days. It's long life. It's often used figuratively, however, in the sense of forever. So, how are we to understand this phrase? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Probably not literally. David is not thinking that he would physically reside. Remember, it's a tabernacle now, not the temple. The temple hasn't been built. His son, Solomon, will build the temple When David was king, there was just a tabernacle. He was often, however, present there, wasn't he? We have several stories of Jesus' interaction with the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. So David probably is not thinking literally when he expresses this. He could be thinking of heaven, that is, life eternal. And he could be, given all the difficulties, and we've talked about this, so I won't rehearse them, but all the difficulties of his life, even his son seeking to kill him. And as he faces all of this, he longs for heaven and the peace and the tranquility of heaven. Something every believer has a desire for, isn't it? The perfect, sinless world of heaven, when the struggles of this fallen world will cease. Well, I'll get back to this thought in a moment. But there's one other way that we could understand David's words here, and that would be probably more central. And that is, David is saying that the Good Shepherd is the source of his blessings. The goodness and the mercy of the shepherd follow him continually. He provides generously for all of his spiritual and physical needs. He cares for him. He protects him. So David's conclusion is, I never want to leave the presence of my shepherd. I want to be near my shepherd always, and to be within his sight and within his care. When we lived in Michigan, before we moved here, we had lots of chickens. And I would see to their feeding every day, sometimes several times a day, and provide water for them and so on. And I'd also take them table scraps and tasty weeds. There was a certain kind of weed they loved. And they learned to watch for me. And whenever they saw me coming, they would flock to me. And I would step on them and trip over them because they literally were underfoot to get as close to me as they could. They knew that I was the source of blessing to them, if you will. So it was good to be near to me. That's kind of what David is thinking and expressing in this phrase. He views himself as a sheep in the care of the Good Shepherd, and he wants to stay as close as he can. He wants to stay underfoot, if you will, so as not to miss a single morsel of blessing that the Good Shepherd has for him. Christian, your Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the source of every good thing. He looks to all of your spiritual needs as well as to your physical needs. He provides all that you truly need. As David puts it, he pursues us, as we saw several weeks ago. The Good Shepherd pursues us with goodness and mercy and blessing. And as a result, I want to stay close to him. I want to always dwell in his presence. Listen to David in Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The living God, Jehovah, who keeps his covenants, he keeps his promises, is my shepherd. And he's good to me. And I always want to be near him. David is concerned about his fellowship with the Lord. And we see this repeatedly in things that David wrote in the Psalms. He expresses it again and again. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O Lord. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And this is the yearning, not just of King David. This is the yearning of every true believer. Anyone who understands the absolute goodness of our shepherd, his goodness and mercy follow us all our life. Sometimes as Christians, we forget the very first question of the catechism. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end
is to glorify God and enjoy him forever.
Yes. Sometimes we emphasize the glorify God and we forget the enjoy him forever. You see, your relationship to the living God is not that of a slave to a tyrant. Some people have that view of God. Even Christians sometimes mistakenly think of God more as a tyrant than a heavenly father. Our relationship with God is not one of coercion and fear, but one of joy, of pleasure in being in the care of our good shepherd. God is love, the scripture says. God is good. The Apostle Paul expresses the same idea in Philippians 3:10. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Do you know the shepherd this morning? I don't mean children. I don't mean do you know about the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? To know the shepherd is to love him, to desire to know him better and to fellowship with him more, to long for better communion, enjoying his presence and his fellowship. In this life, we can only enjoy the spiritual presence of the Lord. But someday we will experience his physical presence. Presence as well. The Old Testament does not have a fully developed doctrine of the eternal state. There are glimpses of it, if you will. For example, in Job 19, we read this. This is the patriarch, Job, roughly a contemporary of Abraham, perhaps a little earlier. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. A little bit of King David in Psalm 23. So we come to the New Testament, this doctrine of the eternal state is more fully developed, although we have to say again, not as fully as some of us would like. A lot of questions. But listen to Jesus in John chapter 14. Listen to the Good Shepherd. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is even now preparing a home for his sheep, a place to dwell forever. Paul adds in 2 Corinthians 12:2, I know a man, and he's speaking of himself in the third person. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Revelation speaks about the eternal state as well. For example, Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Those who belong to the Good Shepherd enjoy his gifts and his care now, today. Fellowship with him now. And someday, we can look forward to his eternal presence. Fellowship that we cannot begin to imagine. Or as Paul says, it's not lawful even to hear. But someday we will experience it. Now we cannot see God. In fact, the Bible says if we saw God, it would kill us. But in heaven we will. Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall someday see God. Years ago, when I was young, foolish, I spent a lot of time working on a cattle ranch in Montana. And one of the things that was interesting was, on occasion, the cattle would get into lush, fresh grass or alfalfa. And when they're not used to it, they can bloat and die. And I got to witness the cure for it, which is a little gross. But anyway, sheep will do the same thing. Now, picture some sheep that are fenced in your neighbor's field. And the field isn't very well taken care of, and the pasture is poor. And the sheep see your pasture, which is lush and green and inviting. And spotting that good grass in your field, some sheep manage to wiggle, as sheep do, under the fence and get into your pasture. And they gorge themselves on the lush, delicious green grass, but bloat and die. They were doomed because they did not get into the field via the hand of the shepherd. If the shepherd had led them to that field, he would have gradually worked them into that lush pasture so they wouldn't hurt themselves and get sick and die. David has been rejoicing in the blessings of the shepherd, the green, green pastures of lush grass, as he explains it. A shepherd whose goodness and mercy are shown to his sheep. But the only way into the pasture of the good shepherd is by the shepherd himself to lead you there. any attempt on your part to get there on your own will only end badly. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, even put it this way in John chapter 10. He said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is the door to the fold. He is the way to green pastures and God's blessing and goodness and mercy. Mercies that never fail. If he is your shepherd, with David, you will not just want his care, you will desire to enjoy his presence, his fellowship, to commune with him through his word, through prayer. But if Jesus is not your shepherd, you are yet in your sins. You will not enter his pasture. Indeed, you will not enjoy his blessings, nor his gifts, but rather his wrath and death. Christ's invitation is to come to him and live, to enjoy, to dwell in his house forever, enjoy his presence now and also for eternity. I would ask you, is Jesus Christ your good shepherd?